Lord come.
Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your compassion, Lord, for having led us thus far with a certain realization that we can say with Paul, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And Lord, we know that that day of the great resurrection is upon us, and we also know that there are some people who have committed themselves and surely will be a part of that group immortal who shall not die but shall be immortalized here on earth. We don't know who it is, Lord, you do, but we believe we're in that hour by vindication. We believe in your integrity, O God, not the integrity of man, but your integrity. Help us tonight in the study. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we are up to number 8 in the God of this evil age. And last Sunday we barely got through about one paragraph, page 17, paragraph 71. And in that passage or paragraph, Brother Branham was comparing the church in Jesus' day of his flesh to the present hour of the Son of Man, or Jesus in the form of the Spirit in the pillar of fire, according to Matthew 12 and Luke 17. He pointed out that Israel, led by the Sanhedrin, refused to receive the Son of God and took instead a murderer called Barabbas, refused the word of God to rule over them, accepting only their own traditions, and crucified Christ. So today the same spirit and the children of disobedience would react exactly the same as did Israel. They would refuse God himself, refuse the word, crucify to themselves the Son of God, receive a murderer, the Antichrist, and not even know it, being as blinded as Israel was. For Israel to be so blind spiritually, and the church today so blinded, is evidence of a strong spirit of disobedience, which is strictly one of unbelief, especially in the face of evidence. So as it was then, it is now. As Israel believed the lie and was doomed or damned, so the church today. And we read last Sunday that little article from the Jerusalem Post, and you could see that Israel put itself right in the place of Messiah. Everything said about him, they arrogated to themselves. Everything that Messiah would do, they said they would do. They became self-glorifiers. They still are. And they'll die for it, except 144,000. So, you see, we have the scripture, as Brother Branham taught it, fulfilled, Alpha's Omega. What God did once, he continues to do. What man did, he continues to do. And so what you see from the Garden of Eden, you see it coming now to a fulfillment. And the Bible is simply chock full of information concerning the beginning to the end, so that you get the complete history. So, all right. We'll go back now to paragraph 72. And remember, Brother Branham has just been looking at 2,000 years ago complaint, comparing it today, and he said they are children of disobedience, of absolute disbelief. In other words, it's not a matter of unbelief, it's a matter of disbelief. So something must have come to their attention. Like as I one time said to Brother Branham, I said, Brother Branham, and I didn't know he'd said this on the tape, already said it. I said, Brother Branham, isn't it true, or could it be true, that those who have made you the Lord Jesus Christ will have less to contend with at the white throne than those who did not make you anything, but because at least they saw something? He said, that's exactly right. So, you'll notice the children of disobedience, disbelief, given a strong delusion to believe the lie and be damned by it. Eve, off one word, was not devil-possessed. She was not even spirit-possessed. What had happened, her own spirit became anointed by the spirit of the devil. And one word off gave her the strong delusion to believe Satan's lie. Satan lied and she presumed. Now, are you in that position tonight that you presume that all is well with you? And in this age, the Bible said they're wretched, miserable, naked, and blind and don't know it. Brother Branham illustrated the woman running around with shorts and little nakedness. They think nothing of it. They're just like the prostitute engaged in her traffic. And when the act was done, it was no different than a woman eating a piece of bread and wiping her mouth. Now, if you've seen any picture shows, any TV, any video cassettes, and you don't understand that, you are insane, a complete tool of the devil. So did you call righteousness unrighteousness and unrighteousness righteousness? You call evil good and blindness sight. That's it. 72. Now, when the church world would not accept Jesus, the Word manifested in that day. Now, they would not do it. Why? They had it interpreted another way. Well, he said the Word was manifested, literally brought to pass visibly through a physical evidence. It was to be observed, and they observed it. And seeing they did not see, and hearing they did not hear. They would not accept the Word manifested of that day. The reason was they had interpreted another way. As Brother Branham said, Jesus came according to the Word, but not according to their interpretation. But they ought to have known that He was the Word, because everything that God said He would do, He did. Not according to them. Now watch it carefully. You can go astray here. You can say, well now, I really don't know that I have found anything in the Bible that delineated, declared, and explained all those things I see in the Gospels. I don't know that it was all written down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The prophet is telling you here that Jesus did exactly what the Word of God said He would do, whether you have your understanding of it or not vindicated. It was what God said and how God did it that was the interpretation, and they would get it after the fact. See? He said He would do it, and He did it. And He said, search the Scriptures for this hour, and if I do not meet the qualification that was spoken for me to do, then don't believe me. Now, they denied His vindication to make that remark.
Because they said, show us a sign. He said, I've already shown you the signs. They said, now hold it. We want to have our own sign regardless of what you say you've shown. Like the Church of Christ offered $1,000 if brother anybody could prove an actual healing. So, Brother Branham sent emissaries. He wanted his $1,000. This is the Church of Christ. They're completely devil worshippers, so they don't know it. Denying the word of the living God, challenging God. So the man came and said, well, he said, when it finally boiled down, they said, well, here's what we figured we would do. We would cut somebody and you would pray and the person get healed. He said, you are of your father the devil and his works you do. See, it's not a matter of you and I wanting something. It is a matter of whether God has declared it is available to you. You know, it's exactly like I was talking to Brother Jack today, and he mentioned the fact that Brother Branham had said the pillar of fire above the throne, and before they called, he answered, and I mentioned that that was God anticipating their wishes. I said it goes far beyond that, Jack. It goes to the fact that God made those people such that he was the answer to what lay within him. So therefore, whatever he said, it was... No, they didn't have to ask. He had fully anticipated by reason of what he produced. So it was very... wonderful to think we've got that lying ahead of us. Israel could not see that. So, notice the word would not, the word, the church word would not accept Jesus. The word manifested in that day 2,000 years ago. Why? Well, they had to interpret it another way. What have they got interpreted today? Well, there's just as many interpretations as there are organizations and preachers amongst them. They've all got their own idea as to what's going to be for this hour, and everybody was screaming communism, except a few people screaming against Catholicism. Now the question, who is right? A few people coming against Catholicism, but just a minute, those same people that screamed against Catholicism missed the ecumenical move and the Protestants, because the old whore had daughters. Now who are the daughters? The Nicaea Council tells me who they are. And the Roman Catholic Church has said that every Protestant baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is a Catholic per se. They have children that wandered from the mother. So where do you stand tonight if you're baptized wrong? Or some type of sprinkling? They said, we believe Moses. He said, if you'd believe Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses spoke of me. Oh, not you. Oh, not you. Why, Malachi spoke of Elijah. Oh, not William Branham. No, said Jack Moore. Absolutely, John the Baptist was Elijah. But if he wasn't, my vote would go to Brother Branham. Well, how? You can't vote twice. So I'm going to go this trip and make sure my vote's right. I'm registered, of course, and I'll vote Democrat today. I'll vote Republican when I just sneak my vote in down the next block. And then if I'm looking for a job with the Democrats and they don't get in, I can tell the Republicans, well, I put my vote for you. What if William Branham was Elijah? Looks like old. He's dead now, but that doesn't bother me any. I'm not speaking evil. He's the guy that said it. I didn't say it. He had love, great love for Brother Branham. But that doesn't, that's wrong when you cannot see vindication. Now he said, Moses spoke of me. Still they didn't see it. Now watch, the very God of heaven dying on the cross and saying the same words the prophet said he would say, and still they didn't see it. Well, of course not. Messiah wasn't to die. Messiah was to take over and make Israel the great nation. In other words, God was coming to pump them up and make them look good so they could say, hallelujah, ain't we the people that God has put forth? Now, if that's not denomination corruption, I've never heard of it. Where's the humility? It's not whose side is God on, but are you on God's side? That was the cry back at the time of the Exodus, who was on the Lord's side? And we found out who was on the Lord's side in the showdown when one man had the authority, which was a prophet called Moses, over another man who was truly a prophet because he could look on the other side, but he tried to play the ends against the middle. I'm talking about Balaam, who was a prophet for Balak, and so God let him go ahead and anoint him. Then Korah, Byron and Dathan rose up against Moses, and God vindicated Moses. All right. Said the very God of heaven dying on the cross, saying the very words of the psalmist, they still didn't see it. What about today? Brother Branham giving us 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Didn't Christ arise first, and we shall alive remain, caught and meet the Lord in the air, will ever be with the Lord. Now, right away, Jesus gave a tricky question. A little tricky question. What he said, hey, he said, how in spirit was it that David called him Lord? Now, he said, I don't know. It's the same question today. If the Lord comes down, how do you meet the Lord in the air? Hasn't changed one bit. You think God's changed? Not a jiffy. Not a jot, not a tittle. Nothing at all. How does David in spirit call him Lord if he is the son of David? So the capstone came down, and we will yet meet our Lord in the air when he becomes incarnate to us, and it won't be William Branham. Now that's going around Jeffersonville from some hot air. To me, it's idolatry and blasphemy. I don't know who said it. And sheer stupidity. You can't see Hoffman's Head of Christ back there, but that's a William Branham song. If you think we're nuts here, and I'm a little screwy up here, you ought to meet the people I meet, get the letters I get and the telephone calls I receive. It's interesting. Very interesting. The very God of heaven dying. God doesn't die. You think for a minute God died, the devil wouldn't take over permanently? What do you got? Identification. Complete identification. God was in him because he was, to begin with, essentially God. Never forget Hebrews 1 and 3. Who being the express image of God. He was literally the essentiality and the outreign of Almighty God, and he was a son, and God came down in Christ and indwelled him. Mystery, but that's all right. That's what it was. And that one who took upon himself flesh, the flesh hanging upon the cross, the person who made himself of no reputation, Jesus, who was essentially of the substance of God, who said, when you see me, you see the Father, hanged upon the cross and died. Now let me tell you this. When they crucified him, essentially, they were crucifying God. Because Pilate said, this is your king. See, we ain't got no king but Caesar. Why would you crucify your king? We don't have any king. We're gonna get rid of him. So essentially, to themselves, they were literally crucifying God, which actually they were in a dimension. Right? Certainly is right. Hey, look. They didn't care two bits if God was in him. They wanted to kill him then. And when God left him in Gethsemane, they did kill him. So essentially, they were killing the very God of heaven. They didn't see it. They couldn't. They were blinded. Now watch, Brother Branham said, why'd they do it? They were not of his kind. They were not of his kind. That means they were not of his lineage. This day have I begotten thee, thou art my son, I am starting my lineage. And when Adam was formed in the flesh, remember, he took every animal that he could possibly at that time have paraded before him. And when those animals were paraded, it is said distinctly by God himself that there was not a helpmeet for Adam. There was not one of his kind whereby he could propagate himself and have many. So therefore, these people were not in the lineage, and they were not helpmeets because they were not of his kind. Now let's look at the picture. Eve was of his kind, but she betrayed him, and he came right around and saved her by headship. Right. All right. They were not the Word. That's exactly right. Because if he is the Word, and we're starting a lineage, horses get horses, and cows get cows, and dogs get dogs, and pigs get pigs, and apples get apples, and roses get roses, and plums get plums, but not God. Or have your own way. Beat it. You know what that's for? That's to make you feel that you've got a right then of something else outside of the Word of God. Because if you feel you can sort of deny it a little bit, then you can be a little cagey and come over here and get away with it. How stupid. You are not told to produce anything. You are told to believe. So, well, shouldn't I produce something? In whatever area God gives you grace and power, that is all. Because in the flesh there dwelleth no good thing, period. For the flesh is constantly, consistently at enmity with the Word. And that's exactly where you've got off the track. And Satan got off the track. And he knows exactly how to get people off the track. He says, shh, the Word. Shh, the Word's there. Right? I'm grinning, and you're agreeing. But I'm going to tell you what I'm grinning about. I am more right than you understand. More smiling, I hope. Now, they were not of his kind. Didn't say they weren't his kind. It said they were not of his kind. That's why Paul says in Hebrews 2, he is not ashamed to call them brethren because they have one Father. Now, look, I'm a child of God, you're a child of God, but fallen. Where do you think you got those mean looks on your pusses? And I got mine. It wasn't from the Adamic race. Mallet and Wilkinson, going back into the antiquities of history, mentioned that the sons of light, the true descendants of Adam, were sweet and kind and loving and peaceful, generous and beautiful. They were lovely people. They were not warlike. It was the children of darkness under Cain who were that way. Now it's all one love, and nobody knows what's going to surface. See? You look around today. You look around, you look at kids and living in sin and taking drugs and all. And you say, my God, why? Why? You can't answer it except for one thing. The image was broken and they're so far from the image. They've got to get their highs on. That's why I'm high on Jesus. If you're high on Jesus, I bet 10 to 1 you've been baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and you don't spit no spit beans from buttermilk.
All that stuff are high on Jesus, a bunch of hogwash. Let's find out before the... Oh, I hope I get a little further. Let's keep pursuing the beautiful thing Brother Branham said. They weren't of his kind. They weren't the limits. They weren't the helpmates. They were not the Word. Not the Word. And yet they were very religious. But they were not the Word. For it would have recognized its place in that hour. It doesn't say they... They were not the Word, because Word recognizes Word. You turn any animal loose, it'll go right to its own kind. So, all right, Word would go to Word. It just wasn't that. See? It would have recognized this place. Let's go over here to the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, about these very religious people, which Paul talks about in Romans, the 10th chapter. And we'll read, about three verses or whatever is in there to read. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. There you are. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So what good does it do? So I'll praise God, they got something. What if they got it from the devil? You remember something years ago when the people used to go across America on the old prairie schooners? There's a place out west, different places, and the water was murky and didn't look so good, and the horses would go there and drink it. Then there was a pool of water clear as crystal, and the horses were too smart, but the people were dumb. They went there and drank, and they died of arsenic poisoning. Better be careful what you're drinking. It might look awful good and kill you. Zeal. The zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. See, the knowledge of what water was good to drink, they didn't have it. So they died in their zeal, which was their desire to drink. So that you can desire God and go to hell desiring God. I remember years ago an old fellow named Ferguson. I was about 15 years old. He's dying cancer. A woman went by to pray for him. He booted her out right now. Bless God, he went to heaven glorifying God. Hallelujah, fighting divine healing. I remember a guy fought me down there in Florida. I was so funny. Yeah, I got a terrible sense of humor. Lord forbid that anybody have as nutty as I have mine. But I got tickled just plum pink the way he was. He misunderstood what I said. I did not say what he thought I said. And boy, did he blaspheme. He let me know he was a good Christian. Blank, blank, God this and God that. Blank, 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 blank. I kept my feet. Yeah. A wonderful Christian. That guy was totally possessed of an anointing of an evil spirit. He also died of cancer. But the funny thing was, that paper that he wanted to serve so righteously, God got Brother Branham there because God told him to come. And he got all the ads in. When he found out he could have had three heart attacks, he said, who ever let that happen? Of course, God made it happen. But this great worshiper of God, anointed by the devil, had a zeal that, bless God, he would kill anybody that tried to talk divine healing, because he knew, bless God, hell, blank, 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 blank. That just wasn't the thing. You say, that's a very unusual case. What are you talking about? It's not the blankety blank the guy added. That's only his own nature. If he was against the Word, like the Church of Christ, it'll say beautiful, smart, wonderful things. The Nazarenes, they're called speaking in tongues of the devil, making love to a corpse. A zeal, but not according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And this is a subject of knowledge. Huh? It's a subject of God's own science. Because the word science comes from the Latin word scio, meaning to know. This is the knowledge of God.
Oh, my. Look at these people. They're over here in the book of Matthew. And they're chapter 23, beginning at verse 13. But one to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Now listen, they were sure that they were going in because Paul says, you know, you say yourself that your eyes are the blind, your sight to those that can't see, and your leaders of those that are going in. Now Jesus is telling them the opposite to Paul on the very grounds that they are confronted by Jesus himself. And they've turned down the lake. Won't you, scribes, Pharisees, you devour widows' houses when pretense make long prayers, therefore she received the greater damnation. What about A.L. went up there and took Esther Molnar's house from her? She was glad to get her house, a widow's house. Ask Don Hockenberry how he spent the money. Warned you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he's made, you make him a twofold more child of hell than yourselves. It says, therefore, that every time a person wins a soul into a certain church that doesn't have the true knowledge of God, that person, in spite of the fact you think he's a better person, a nicer person, everything else, he's a twofold more child of hell than the man that brought him in. Because they turned down a lake. Brother Brown has been dead for 25 years. The seed opened in 1963. Where's the world today? Lift up your heads and rejoice. Oh, people hate me. I know they hate me. They don't think I have any love. I don't have their kind. I'm not about to have it. I'm impervious to it. I've been all through that stuff. Oh, one sweet fellow one time. Oh, he was a nice guy, but utterly innocuous. Well, he said, you know, when I fasted and oil came on my hands, he said, for the first time I became sweet and mellow. The word's rotten. But he called it mellow. Listen, would you blind guys which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple is nothing. Whosoever shall swear by the golden temple is, he's a debtor. He fools and blind, whether it's greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold. Now, why does he say the temple is greater? Because that's where God dwells. Now, he said, whosoever shall swear by the altar is nothing. Swear by the gift upon his guilty. He fools and blind, whether it's greater, the gift of the altar, to sanctify the gift. Which is the greater? Well, all right. What was our altar? Christ. So, right down the line, also reading Matthew 7 in conjunction with this. Now look at the zeal. They come zealously. And not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, in the kingdom of heaven, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And yet the will of God is to heal the sick, prophesy, cast out devils, do wonderful works. And as Brother Branham said, any church could have all nine gifts in it. Many will say, Lord, are we not prophesied 99 cast out devils, 99 wonderful works? I'll profess, I never knew you. Get out of here. That's exactly, the wicked shall not stand in the day of the judgment. And the righteous will stand right there. They won't make any claims to anything. I don't have to make any claims, and I'm wearing glasses. I am wearing glasses. I don't have to make any claims. This is a great suit. It is a great suit. And my hair is almost black. It's really dark brown. I don't have to make any claims. It is. These people make claims because they aren't. We don't have to make any claims about this message we preach from Brother Branham. That's what's been vindicated for you. It is. They're not going to believe it. They're not going to see it. Notice how beautiful the scriptures tie together in every age. Notice now, and when the church world would not have the word of God to rule over them, they accepted a murderer, Barabbas. He was a murderer. They accepted him. What did this do? What came out of this? It exalted Satan, the god of this evil age. Now later on down here he tells you no other age but this age is called the, he's called the god of this evil, the god of this age. Now this exalted Satan to the place that he's always wanted. In other words, they made a choice. They never took the headship which God delegated to Christ by thoroughly indwelling him. The Father dwelleth in me. So what do they do now? They take a murderer. Now Cain was the murderer. So therefore they're going to have a man, a murderer. And he'll be completely indwelt by Satan. They'll take him. And he's the god of the evil age. Now you see, Satan was exalted. Satan got what he wanted. I will exalt myself above the Most High God. That means when it comes to a choice, I'll win. Put your money on my nose, said Satan. I'm the horse that's going to win the race.
So all the jackasses just like him think they know a horse when they see one. Didn't just no jackass never won a race against a horse yet. I'm not joking. I'm telling you, Brother Brandon said the thoroughbred knows his pedigree, knows his mammy and pappy. The jackass doesn't. Or the mule, whatever you want to call him. This is a mule. He comes from two lines and he's sitting just all messed up. Now, it exalted Satan, the god of this evil age. When they made a choice. In Hebrews 6, they make another choice. Let's go to Hebrews 6, in case you don't know what it is. I know you know what it is. Let's read it. For it is impossible, verse 4, for those who are once for all enlightened. Now, that's got to be Revelation 10 and 7. Tasting the heavenly gift, partaking the Holy Ghost, tasting the good word of God, even the powers of the world to come. Did you hear what I said? Powers of the world to come are going on right now. In other words, I said a while ago, was God said to Moses, and Moses told the people, God said to Moses, tell the people this, what they are getting now is to prepare them when they're going in. When they get across Canaan, I beg your pardon, when they get across Jordan, they go into the promised land, they set up their kingdom, a place of sanctification, like the millennium to you and me. This message is preparing us. We are already tasting and have tasted the powers of the world to come. The word of immortality has come forth, and it's in somebody who's going to make the rapture standing here, not missing one wink of the eye, one heartbeat, one breath. You're going to walk in. That tells you. The dunamis or the exousia, it doesn't matter, can be both the dunamis, the power, and the authority. If, having fallen away, at this point, there is no room for repentance. Why? Because they get killed for it. Leaving neither root nor branch. How are you going to repent when you're dead?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm dead.
I know a fellow right now, he wishes to God he hadn't shot his mouth, huh? He's a fellow who wrote a book about Brother Branham, included me also with his lies. He said Brother Branham was drunk when he died. Said he had women, everything else. This man had several hundred in cell. Asked Ned Iverson what he did to him. He had old Ned to read. He said, Ned, he said, I need some money. So Ned said, okay, I'll go ahead and I'll mortgage my furniture. So once Bob Tom got the money, that was the end of it for Ned. Yeah. He's dead. You think he doesn't know better than that? Listen, you people think I'm awful tough and dirty up here. You're going to thank God before it's over. I could spill everything out here in the carpet, whether you like it or not. If you're too nice for me, that's fine. But you can't be. You wouldn't have been here tonight. Now, it tells you right here. There's no room left. Why? Because a choice is made. Two thieves hanging on the cross. Two thieves crucified. And the whole church, wretched, miserable, blind, naked, doesn't know it. And one hears the knocking at the door. And comes out. Nobody else comes out. And those that sin crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. They make their choice.
Tonight you have made a choice. Or have you?
I don't like having done. You can sit here and you can bluff me. You can't bluff God. And put him to an open chain. And it talks about the harvest. The earth drinking in the rain that come off the pond and bringeth forth herbs meat for them to whom is dressed. Rebus receives blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. And is nigh unto cursing. Whose end is to be burned. Choice. Made it then, they make it now. Just like in Noah's day. That stupid ark. Who wants to be in that dumb place? Look at those goats going. Yeah, pigs stink to high heaven. Man, talk about a mess. Yeah. Hey, phony boy. The animals went in, but the others didn't. The brute beasts couldn't. All right. Now notice. For Satan is not spoken of as a god of any other age but this age. He wasn't spoken of as the god of the age of Noah. That's true. He wasn't spoken of as the god of the age of Moses, the god of Elijah. But this evil age, oh, don't miss it. He is the god of this evil age, worshipped by millions and billions of people, and they don't know it. That's exactly true. Who made up the Book of Mormon? Who wrote the Koran? Who put down all the sayings of Confucius as well as Chairman Mao? How now, dead Mao? He knows better. Absolutely. He knows better. You can't not know better. Brother Branham said they go to eerie Neverland. He said it's the worst thing in the world. They don't go there. Something between God knows what, the hovering darkness. Yeah. Oh, they know better. The choice has been made. Now listen to me. This sounds pretty terrible. But do you know that if you follow a denominational teacher or anybody that goes against this, if that's true, you made your choice. There's only two heads. One is God and one is the devil. And you can't sit between. That's why we get all the flack and the criticism here. Because we say we're not sitting on a fence. And that's true. We have been kicked off the fence. Branham came by. William Branham. He kicked the fence. Like a bucking bronco. We got thrown off. And there are those that think they're sitting on the fence. That they're going to turn a corner. My Bible tells me in Hebrews 6, you have cast an eye. And you have indicated who you are, wheat or tare, by your stand on vindication. I'm going to tell you something. The Pentecostals also tasted the word because nobody can come under the power of William Branham's voice and not have tasted the power of that word. You can't help it. No more you can go through water or through rain and not be affected. They say to the word, no, we turn it down. There's no more repentance. There's nothing left for them. They are worshiping the devil, billions. And they don't know. This encompasses every religion because that's exactly what it says. Everything that is called God. 75. But let's let the scripture uncover him this morning. And let's see. Then you'll know. Let the scripture. Now watch. He's going to challenge you how the scripture is going to do it. As in the meetings of discernment, when the Holy Spirit gets among his word, the people and also others, in the life of the word, and he calls out this man and says, you have no business living with this other woman. What did you do that for 10 years ago when you ran off of this man's wife? What's the Holy Spirit doing? He's uncovering Satan. He's exposing Satan. That's got the man bound, or the woman living with some other woman's husband, or the sins that they've done and the things they have done, what does he do? Expose. What does it do? It exposes him. Now, that's the sign of the prophet. See? In other words, he's speaking here of vindication. You don't need to fear what this man says. Go to your denomination if this man hasn't got thus saith the Lord. See? This is a strong statement of fact. But what some had called, Brother Branham's great message, like in Chicago, they said he's wrong. But he stood there, and he preached the oneness of the Godhead in the sense of God and his Son. Jesus isn't God, he's the Son of God, though he's God's substance and everything else, just like you and I had our beginning in him. There's a little bit of God in us, or we're not part. That's exactly true. Horses are horses, dogs are dogs, cars are cars. I know people don't like that because, see, that's too simple. That brings it right down to nitty-gritty. Well, you see, a horse is a horse and a dog is a dog, but God is great. He makes a pig into a sheep. Hallelujah. Nuts. What's in this talk about God loving the sinner and hating the sin? If God loved the sinner and hates his sin, why didn't he let the blood of Jesus Christ just atone and take them all to heaven? I'd like to know, and I got any answers. Or said they didn't make a choice. Ha ha! The Bible doesn't say that. You didn't choose me, I chose you. Sounds like a tough gospel, but it's a good one. It narrows it down. Yes, it narrows it down. Let's let the scripture expose him. Like the Chicago meeting, when he's telling them about baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, one person had to come forward. And he told me, he said, I didn't know you were that smart. He said, you're smarter than I thought you were. Because the pillar of fire hung there. And William Branham would not have said, let this man be carried out feet first like Peter did. He just said, just like Peter said, why? He said, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost? The guy dropped dead. He said, they actually told me, he said, the pillar of fire hang there, and the first man that would have dared to come forward when you carried out feet first. That's why I told him, you're smarter than I thought you were. Ooh, that must have been cutting. 76, now he's going to illustrate. The doctors take instruments and try to find what's wrong. Perhaps they can't do it. Can't be told. But then, now he's talking about his own ministry, the Holy Spirit comes up, reveals what he is, and exposes him. In other words, he reveals what the devil has put on that person and what part he has in it and exposes the devil. See, that's what the Word of God is. Now, he's illustrating. It is a light that shines in darkness. What is there and covered can be brought to light. And listen, the light shines in darkness. And when you make a noise in the room, it sounds mysterious because it's dark. A bunch of something is working there. What is it? You don't know. You turn on the light. Quickly, you see crickets and roaches. Oh, they start to scatter. They're the children of the darkness. When the light flashes, they scatter away. Now, those represent people. They went out from us because they weren't of us. If they'd have been of it, when the light shone, they'd have stayed. And they'd have said, man, we've been waiting for this. Where you guys been? We've been holed up in this little dump of an apartment, no windows, no nothing. And here we are going around in the dark. We're so happy the light came. But listen, you turn the light on in that dark hole, everything begins to scatter that loves the darkness. Oh, sure. You mean many people would leave a prophet? William Branham was a true prophet, which we know he was. Do you think he'd get the crowds? Everybody said, well, if he's a true prophet, bless God, my church would have taken it. My church would have, my church. Say, hey, listen, Buster, read your Bible. Your head may be full of sawdust and your heart full of corruption, but mine isn't. See, I wasn't born to be that way. Can a horse help being a horse? Can a dog help being a dog? Can a son of God help bleeding if he part word?
Well, come on.
Oh, well, that's different, Brother Veer, because God's a great God, and he makes dogs into sheep. Hey, God's not in the market business. You got this thing mixed up with the butcher, the corner. Not with the God that I know anything about. Oh, he said they went out from us because they weren't of us. The Bible said that. See, they cannot live in the light of the world, for God of heaven has sent his light in this last day. Jesus, I am the light of the world, that he might lighten the path for his children, that they might not walk in darkness and stumble, but they might walk in the light of the shining of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. In other words, these people will not accept, A-C-C-E-P-T, the verdict of Deuteronomy chapter 18. They repudiate it. And they find every excuse for it. They will not take it. No, sir. So they'll find themselves in John chapter 24 in their delusions. Now, let's go over here. One of my favorite passages, of course, is over here in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And it's speaking of course, beginning in the 3rd chapter, concerning the the orthodox or the traditional veil upon Israel and now upon the church. And it says the veil at one time is going to be taken away. Now, when is it going to be taken away? When something happens to their hearts via a revelation in the mind. Now, that means the mind, if it has anything at all, has got it wrong. So now it's got to be made right. Now, how's it going to be done? Verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So it's going to be a spiritual awakening. But we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same infinite glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, when you get the traditional veil off your face, the message becomes clear and simple, and that's what you embrace. Now, at that point, you go from glory to his image. Now, at the rebirth, you're in his image spiritually. Now you got to wait for the resurrection. But some of us are not going to require a resurrection. So, we behold him. Now, keep your finger there. And go all the way back to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Not pigs, not dogs, sheep. Therefore the world knoweth it not, because it knew not him. You can't recognize us, couldn't recognize him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it never yet did come into existence. Never did yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Now it tells you right there, at this particular time, we're going to have a resurrection body like unto his own glorious body. All right, go then back to 2 Corinthians. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, there's only one image that he's got that you can get into. That's the physical. You can never have his status. So if you think for 1 minute you could ever acquire anything else, you're entirely erroneous. You're wrong. You can share in his glory because he's going to allow you. In other words, when he's there, we'll be there. All these things are contingent. But we're talking now from image to image. We're going to be just like him. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not. Now, Paul says, I've got it. But having renounced the hidden things of honesty, not walking in craft or handing the word of God to see me, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in sight of God. Now, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine in darkness has shined into our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now it tells you, starting in the day of Paul, it goes from glory to glory until it's a final glory. Is that right? You ready for it? Let's go back to First Thessalonians. Now we're going to talk about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he said here, there's a question you brought about the time of the dead and the time of living. Verse 13, I would not have you and your brethren concerning them which are asleep, you saw not as others have no hope. Because some did not believe that they were coming back. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also sleep in Jesus, will God bring forth with him. That's bring forth with Jesus and bring them forth with himself, right here. For this is presented by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not take preeminence over them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive we shall be caught up with them in the air. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here he's talking about the dead. He said the dead are going to come forth. Verse 50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither corruption nor corruption. Beloved, behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all go to the grave. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Now the living are going to be changed in this final glory. The final glory that takes place at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Okay, if that's correct, then it is correct. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 1. Verse 7. And your troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's going to happen there according to Malachi 4. Now these wicked shall be punished with everlasting destruction, leaving neither root nor branch, from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. So it tells you right there, at the time he comes to be glorified in his saints, he's going to wipe out everybody else. And from glory to glory, positively, the last glory is we are going to be in his image, glorified like him, because the Bible says that. And that has to do with the flesh of the New Testament saints. Now watch. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. It starts with Paul, and it ends with Paul, and it better be right with Paul, or you're not going to make it. So William Branham stood beyond the curtain of time. It wasn't even a vision, bodily transported there somehow, like Paul didn't know out of the flesh or in the flesh. He didn't know, couldn't tell. He stood right there, and he said, well, I preach what Paul preached. He said, we're resting on that. That's why people try to tell you're supposed to go back to Pentecost. They're liars. Paul wasn't at Pentecost. Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell you something. When Paul came on the scene and Paul had the revelation, Peter stood there with egg on his face. Paul said, hold it, Peter, hold it. That bunch of Judaizers that crept in there couldn't understand the things of the Holy Ghost. They even took Barnabas aside, and he got so head up over the circumcision that he wanted Timothy to get circumcised. And Paul said, out, out. And you know what? Yet the Holy Ghost had called him aside. Pretty serious. How much do you believe this message? It's up to you. It said right here, believed in that day. That's this day we're talking about. Wherefore we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. What's that calling? The same thing he's talking about. And fulfill all the good pleasure, his goodness, and the work of faith with power. That's at the end time. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God. That's what he said at Pentecost. You'll know that I'm in you, and you in me, and I'm in you, and that's how he put it. You'll know that I'm in you, and you in me, and anyway, you know what it is. And the Father, Brother Branham said that took place at Pentecost. It's taking place right now at the White Throne. So here you see the perfect picture of the light that is shining. And now remember, the conditions of that hour are still Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 7. So we go there. Now listen. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. In other words, there is an indeterminate time that is called the day, which is the day of the Lord. Nobody knows how long it's going to be. But at that particular hour, there is going to be light. It's going to be a dreary, dismal day. It's going to be, in other words, in plain English, it's going to be this. That light will shine, but it won't shine according to you. It won't shine according how you like it. It won't shine according how you want it. You're going to have to sit back and say, bless God, that man was vindicated. God has integrity. God backed up that man's word. Listen, before it's over, hear this and hear this tonight, you people. There is going to be so much said about Brother Branham. So many errors he made. I could say him tonight and cripple you. And I hang on myself to one thing. God cannot answer back to a hypocrite or a heathen or an idolater. God answered back because he has integrity. And I don't care if Brother Branham made a number of mistakes in dates or the number of people or anything else. I know only one thing. When that man said, thus saith the Lord, God answered back. And I know nobody could hide when the Spirit of God came upon him. And I say, if I don't know who that God is, I say one thing. William Branham, I believe in your God the way you preach this Bible and nothing else. Now stand with that tonight or drop dead because you're going to drop dead. I've said my say. You think I don't fight and I don't battle? Listen, nitwits. And I say kindly, not to be mean. Don't be stupid. You bet there's a battle. You think you're so smart you got all the answers? Don't kid yourselves. Don't fool around. You fool around with a lot of things, but don't you fool with this word. That man was vindicated. Nobody in 2,000 years had what he had. Ain't nobody going to get it, according to the word of God, or that man is a charlatan. Because once you get the real from that time on, there's nothing but a counterfeit. Notice, Satan is not called the God of any other age, but this age. It was his ambition to be like God from the very beginning. Notice what he said Isaiah. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Ah, bright guy. Oh yeah, came on like Roman candles. Hey, hey, when he cut a swath, he cut a swath. You talk about the high priest with bomb pomegranates and bells going tinkle, tinkle, holy unto the Lord, holy unto the Lord. Why, this man had a jazz band made of wind and cymbals, maybe a few strings. Brother, he played a hurdy-gurdy in a tune you couldn't believe, but they believed it. How art thou cast down to the ground, which the weak of the nations? You know, this is referring to what's coming. This prophecy written 2,400 years ago or so? For thou hast said in thine heart, I'll ascend into heaven and exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's the sons of God. And I'll set upon the mountain the congregation the sides of the north. In other words, he said positively, I am going to be a bringer of light. I'm going to make myself like the Most High. A bringer of light. I'm going to speak out in all the dark places. I'm going to make it very clean, clear to these people. I'm going to get worship. In fact, I am going to have more people worshiping me than God does. And he proved it by taking 2/3 of the angels with him. Paragraph 78. It was Satan's ambition to be worshipped like God. He took 2/3 of the stars of heaven, ascended himself above those stars and preached them and deceived 2/3 of them. Absolutely. 2/3 of the angels. You see it? All right. Notice. That's his ambition. And now he is ready with his carefully selected, educated bride by his own knowledge. See, all painted up in his deceit of big buildings and big denominations and paints of knowledge and theology and smart intellectual and educated to deceive the whole world. That's what the Bible says. And become a god. That's what he's done. All heading up into the person of the Antichrist, which is already crowned the vicar of God by his world-loving, scientific bride, all dressed up in the pomp of intellectual religious education. Now, what did he do with Eve in the beginning? He appealed to her to get with it. Hey, girl, I want to tell you something. You can't believe the word the way you heard it. Let me tell you the truth. I want to educate you. Come on, girl, reason.
That's what she did. Now, that's what we got today, whether you want to admit it or not. What the beast, Satan threw the serpent, a beast. What he did, how he appealed to Eve, is exactly what you've got today. The breakdown of morals and the acceleration of knowledge. Now, what good's your knowledge if God's put a curse on the carnal knowledge? Because that's where it started. The command of God was replenish the earth, subdue it, take over, rule over it. Satan says, I'll show you how it's done. Now the homosexual filth. If I remember, I'm going to bring something out of Dayton paper and read it here. It'll rip your hearts to shreds. Homosexual filth. And let's understand this. The heterosexual childbearing women are now getting AIDS faster than the homosexuals. This is statistical. This is the truth. Homosexual filth. Sex. Running the world. And they stand up and proclaim, listen, without knowing, this is the original sin. And now they're taking every single thing that they can use in human science to try to cure AIDS. And you got even smart men like Bradford and Culbert and the rest, even mayors down there in Florida and Germans and everybody. They're trying to tell you can be cured. Oh, yes, we've cured some. How do they know they have? You think it doesn't mutate? You wait. Those same doctors are encouraging filth. The highest minds in medicine are being called upon by the homosexuals until the government has voted more money for filth than to cure heart disease, which kills many more at this time than the homosexuals and the AIDS are killing, and lung trouble, other diseases, yet more money's voted for. You know why? Because they control the government. And they're very obstreperous. And there's two kinds of AIDS. There's the neurological and there's the lymphatic. And everybody's gone to lymphatic not knowing the neurological. So there's millions of people dying with infirm minds that are AIDS patients. And there's millions dying with with tuberculosis or pneumonia, which are AIDS patients. And millions dying with cancer, and they're AIDS patients. And right now in Canada, the nurses in the labs who analyze the blood and deal with it, there is no way that they can know whose blood they're using. So the government says, you're sunk. Now, I'm supposed to stand back and feel sorry. Say, oh, poor America. Oh, poor Bush. Poor Sullivan. Poor government. Poor AIDS. Well, you want to go ahead, Brother Branham said, I don't pray for America. So I'm supposed to pray for it. You pray for it. You better pray for yourselves. One day a bunch of people at Jesus' crucifixion wanted to pray for him. He said, pray for yourselves. Boy, you say, Brother Dale, that doesn't repeat. You don't know what you're talking about. It does repeat. Yes, sir. He appealed to Eve to make her own way. All dressed up, religious. She's made religious like him. That's the devil. And by his own interpretation of the word of God, as he did Eve, and as his son Cain. That's what the Bible calls Cain. A son of Satan. But you can't get the Pentecostals to tell you that. You know why? Because Satan never tells on himself. I stole the bank here. I robbed the bank. Right? You think a bank robber does that? I shot him. Do you think it's a killer, does it? Not unless he's entirely insane. Come on. These people are duped. They're duped. Wretched, miserable, blind, and don't know it. You ever played blind man buff? You put a blindfold on so you can't see anybody. Let's play the game tonight. You understand what I'm talking about? Just make ourselves thoroughly blind. We'll put putty here. Soft bread dough is the best. Yeah, you know why they use soft bread dough? Because it's like putty. Just, you know, put it over here. Let's feel around. See. I'm not blind. I can see. I can see. I can see. Father said, I can see you're crazy. That's his age. Now, you said Satan's son, Cain's Satan's son. Sure. Show me a place in the Bible that ever called Cain Adam's son. The Bible said he was the son of the evil one, serpent seed. No. The cover's been taken off, brother. The pyramid has been opened, as the revelation showed. What is all that about the pyramid? It simply means the bride, the church of God, the true church is a pyramid. As per cornerstone to a headstone. The pyramidal city is being made. So therefore, at the last hour of revelation, the person on top, which has the headstone ministry, the capstone, looks down in and tells you all about it. But being face to face with the head, then tells you about the head and your further destination. So, there was a dream or vision, whatever, about a pyramid mountain. And Brother Branham takes a bar, rips the top off. It's pure white. There's nothing written therein. He said, look at this till I go back and come out. In other words, there was nothing written about this portion which was there. So, all right, he's talking about it now. The seven seals are open. The thunders have thundered. Now, many people don't believe that the seals have all been opened because Brother Branham in one place only mentioned six. Then he talked about the seventh seal not being revealed because then had to do with the physical coming. But he also said the seventh seal was Revelation 10:1-7. So make up your mind, William Branham. Were you vindicated by God to make fools out of us? Were you doing double talk? What were you saying? It's simple as ABC. The only part of the seventh seal that hasn't been revealed is the literal physical. And you don't need it. You're going to be part of it. It's all open. But that particular part has not yet come. But the thunders have thundered. How can a book be open when seven seals are sealing it and the last seal hasn't been removed? It's shut. Did Brother Branham say he took the lamb from behind the throne, took the book out of the hands of him on the throne, and ripped off six seals? He didn't say that. He ripped off the seals. But he couldn't tell us everything under the seventh. Because that's yet to come. Our portion is Revelation 10:1-7, which was God dealing with his prophet on earth for you and me. That's what the score is. There's nothing wrong with the prophet and his word and God. It's that people just will not listen. You see, they won't listen because they can't listen. They got an idea. I've told you time after time, there is no way you'll get this message until you denude your own mind of your own thinking. Listen to me. If this thin piece of paper here was known in your mind as a slate, when I said paper, you thought slate. You're stuck, right? Then you've got to learn Brother Brown's language, which means you've got to know the doctrine. You don't know the doctrine, you haven't got a prayer. Now listen. Paragraph 80. Notice what he will do according. Notice what he will do according to his thought. In other words, Satan's thinking is going to come out. It's going to be done. He thought God and Cain the same way as Cain. I guess he's talking about. He thought God dwelt in worldly beauty. See? Now Satan, whatever he did was done in heaven. Now he brings the sin back to the Garden of Eden. This sin began in heaven when Lucifer, the son of the morning, exalted himself in beauty and wanted a more beautiful kingdom than that of Michael. That's Jesus in that former form. And he thought God dwelt in beauty. All right, let's go to Psalms and read some scripture. Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired, O Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temples. Now he said down here, I can't see the beauty of God. I got to be up there to see it. In other words, you cannot, of your own, specify, believe, and endorse a beauty of God. You can't do it. Because he doesn't have the beauty you and I would talk about, or Satan would talk about. It's got to be something that comes by revelation as being in the temple, which means a part of the temple. So the Holy Ghost can teach you what true beauty is. Let's go to 29 and 2. Give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Do you think people call this beautiful holiness what I'm preaching tonight? Why, we're a bunch of idiots. How ridiculous. Now let's go to Isaiah 53 and begin to see truth. Isaiah 53 and in verse 2. For he shall go up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So in one place there is no beauty, in the other place there's beauty to perfection. In other words, there is no such thing as you and I of ourselves knowing God and his intrinsic beauty, his intrinsic glory, to have a true assessment unless God begins to give us a little at a time. And the only way he can do it is by seeing the magnificence of his word minutely jot and tittle. But there's no failure. And it comes all together that you can see his glory, because that's what the word glory means, as an assessment. Now let's compare what I read with Ezekiel over here in 28 and 12. Now, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and send him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. There you are. Yep. He said right here, there is nothing you will see in this world, as far as the human senses are concerned, but will absolutely reflect and show you the beauty, not of God, but of Satan. He's got it all taken care of. And you know how he does it? By being an imitation high priest. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, where you fooled Adam and Eve, especially Eve. Every precious stone was your covering, sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl. You know what he did? He stepped in between Adam, or Eve, which is the church, her husband, and her head, which is God. He stepped in between, and he said, listen, I'll mediate for you. I will tell you about it. Let me clue you in. Ah, oh, he said, notice that tree. That's a marvelous tree. One word she listened to. Some hope that she could have exactly what she wanted, yet being off that word. That's what happened. And suddenly she saw what wasn't there. The tree that killed was now good to eat. How stupid can you get? A friend of mine had a dream. He saw this certain person reaching in to the most horrible smelling mess. It was worse than pig manure at its worst. And this man was eating it with relish and delight and offering people. I see that boy's dream coming to pass. For the first time I caught that man off of a word. Watch long enough. Don't get away from the word. Leading others right into it. But it'll look beautiful. It'll smell great. It'll be wonderful. The man who wrote the book of Proverbs used the illustration of a young man going to a harlot for his satisfaction. And that's the type of life, as you look at it. That's where he got it. That's what he wanted. The Bible said, don't do it. Because there's utter destruction there. You think it's great, it'll get to you. It'll destroy you. It started in Eden. It's going to finish the world off. You can't help it. The beauty. To compare God's beauty and Satan's is to compare their wisdom.
as found in the book of James, the 3rd chapter, and 15 to 18. And it says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now listen, that was in the Garden of Eden. She was envious. She was confused. It was sensual. It was an evil work. But the wisdom which from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. And that's the tree, you know, right word. Without partiality, without hypocrisy. Even the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. It tells you the wisdom of God is not at all like the wisdom of man, neither is his beauty. See, that's where Israel failed. They said, hey, we got it all figured out. We want it this way and we'll believe. And the devil comes right around and says, that's the way you want it? Good, you'll get it. That's right. That's exactly what happened. See? He thought that God dwelt in beauty. How much time we got? Might read one more paragraph. And notice Cain, he didn't want any blood sacrifice. He came down and offered the fruit or the fields of beauty upon his altar. Very religious did he do everything. Just exactly like Abel did it. Offered a sacrifice. Bible says so. Fell down before God in worship. Obedient in every way, but without the revelation of the word. That's exactly what it says in Septuagint. And the word was from the beginning God's plan. But God revealed by revelation, in other words, what was done there was already in God, already there, and this one was waiting for a false anointing, and he got it. But God revealed by revelation the very thing that he vindicated and punctuated that was right. In other words, God way back there vindicated the truth, and he did by the very fact that Adam and Eve died. Do you know God's vindicated by the wages of sin? Who said they'd come? Sure. Not religion, not an altar, not belonging to church, not making a sacrifice, not being sincere. That's good, though. But by the revelation of the Word of God, God revealing to him that his mother did not take an apple that a snake gave her, but she had a sexual affair with the person of Satan in the form of the beast, like Jesus hung on the cross. That was God hanging the cross. Not a reptile, but the smartest, subtlest of all the field, the image of man, the only thing the seed would mix in. Looked like just a man. Now science is trying to find him. They'll never find him because every bone in his body is changed. The Bible declares it to be so. Now listen, let me tell you something. If the serpent already had in his body the ability to be absolutely transformed in his body to be beyond recognition as to who he was, how about his race today? Oh, that lovely person couldn't be serpent seed. Oh, come on. He wouldn't have him in that. Oh, my lovely preacher. You could tell that about him. How do you know I'm not serpent seed fooling? You could be gullible bunch of stoolies down there. Idiots. Lovely people, everything else. What if when you sat in other churches, what was it like? Oh, Brother Bill, our pastor, yes, bless God. You could, sun rose and set, oh, yeah, you could tell the time of day by him, oh, yes. He had everything in him already waiting to fool you. Everything to be changed. Just like that spirit. He had a bow without arrows sitting on a horse. Very nice. Deep. He kept changing and changing and changing. He had it within him. The serpent had it within him. So does every child of God. to be utterly transformed and fool everybody that he's a child of God, because he ain't going to need it. If Jesus fooled them by being Jesus that he was the Son of God, ain't nothing you and I are ever going to do to make anybody think we are. Yet we have within us, like the serpent did, so God could take that change and nobody could recognize. I want to ask you a question. Did the disciples recognize Jesus in his change? And the answer is yes. Hogwash, it was no. You say, well, Mary, you're a liar. Mary didn't recognize. It was the voice, like John turned to see the voice. They don't understand. It lies within you. It was in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter that Paul understood this, and he said they're transformed into angels of light. Filthy scum, beast, serpency. Isaiah. Now we're quitting. Time's run out. And that's fine. 54:13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Now listen, you that are troubled, rest with us. Get peace. When he shall come down, and you'll be separated by the gospel of Paul. Matthew 24. And taken away in a rapture. Luke 17. Because you believed in that day. Take your scholars, angels of light. Take your Greek, angels of light. Take your history, archaeologists, take it all. Angels of light. And they present it. Satan is doing it. And he'll tell you everything, what you ought to know and how you ought to know it. But he had thus said the Lord. Now get this again, my brother, my sister. I might be telling you many times. You're in a position to be shaken like you never were shaken before. If you think you can figure it, be my guest. I'd even dare come up here and stand beside me with the Bible. You can't do that. You're not that smart. None of you sitting here, two or three put together, you're not that smart. Don't think you are. I'm not boasting. Come on, do it. I give you the chance. Come on. Take any sermon you want, Brother Rands. Go ahead. You don't have the gift. I have a gift. But don't get fooled by gifts. Thus saith the Lord. Satan is so smart he can take anybody except a true child of God. All but the very elect be deceived. And you're going to have to stand on a vindication where the prophet said he got his perfect faith. Where Paul said he got his perfect faith. It wasn't what he believed when it came down to the final analysis. It was who he believed and that one who he believed. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I'll stand with it. I'll stand with the covenant God made before there was a speck of stardust. I'll stand by vindication. And that only God showed me. Nobody else, and you can't change it. That's where you stand right now. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your love, mercy, and grace, Lord. As we go away, we just pray that your hand be upon us to guide and lead us. May we come together again in your presence. May the sick amongst us be healed, Lord. We know they are being healed. We know something's going on, Father. Surely, O God, there could not be this great anointed message among us, this word proven, Lord. And your faithful servants, wherever they are, going word by word, Lord, the faithful bride coming together, getting your truth, O God, there could not be anything less than the full Spirit of God. For you know, he himself, prophet, has said, all of it now in the church, the full Spirit of God for this hour, capstone, spiritual, the word, waiting for the great day. When we're changed, the dead having come out of the ground,
We going up, Lord. If we boasted in ourselves, I pray that you've heard that whatever we said wrong, correct it, Lord, because we don't intend to boast in ourselves or any point of who we are, what we are, but we all the glory back upon you and your word, Lord, because no matter what gift I might have or 1,500 people have gifts, that's not what counts. There's a vindicated prophet, Lord. And except for true, genuine gift, there couldn't be the same words broken down and spoken to the people, which I trust tonight, Father, it has been done. Not making anything of myself or this people or anything else, Lord, but putting it back on you, O God, because that's where it belongs. That's the truth of it, Lord. But I will not back away, Lord, from what the prophet said. Or back away from any man, O God, because I know it is true. That your word's been vindicated, and I'm standing, Lord, with vindication. Your people are, Father. No matter what happens, no matter what comes upon the scene, I believe, Lord, if that day comes when there is a dire circumstance amongst us, that you will help us, O God. And I know you will, Lord. I know you will. Because, Father, your own word said there is no more repentance. And this is a godly repentance that cannot be repented of. A sealing, Lord. And there can be nothing going forward. Cleanse our hearts all tonight, Lord. Take away all things that should not be there, making us realize that never before we have not begun any spirit of fear, neither is your spirit here one of fear. It isn't. But a courage, love, and a sound mind, the things of our Lord and our God. Again, we pray, Lord, for your blessing upon the sick, if there be such. Preservation, Lord, going home, coming back, whatever it is, until our days are expired, Lord, where the lamp of God goes out, the bride is taken off the earth, just a little glimmers, 144,000 come in, and then, Lord, it's all over. And though we say hasten that day, and we can say, Father, because you told us to, and that is that day, we know, Lord, there is in our hearts a sorrow. As Paul said, for those of his own flesh and those round about him, we're not devoid, O God, of human sentiment, as though people might think we are. We dearly love to see everybody come in, but we know everybody's not going to learn. Help us, therefore, to be content, O God. In this last hour, as you said way back yonder, be therefore wise as serpents, and as harmless as doves. Match the devil with his own wits by yielding to the Spirit of God. For that wisdom that comes from above, gentle, kind, and so on. So thank you for your presence, your goodness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen.